Welcome to the RD2B podcast. Each week, we sit down with a different registered dietitian nutritionist to showcase the diversity of opportunity in the dietetics profession. Our aim is to dismantle the notion that there is a traditional career path. I'm Carl Barnes, the registered dietitian behind the scenes of RD2B.
And I am Jenna Warnock, the RD2B host. Our RD guests share their stories, career paths, and advice to help students like us succeed in the profession.
Welcome back to another week of the RD2B podcast. I'm your host, Jenna, and this week we're sitting down with another supervised practice or dietetic internship program to just showcase all the amazing, unique, different pathways that students can take to get that RD credential and knowing that you can find a dietetic internship that is a good fit for you. And so this week, we're super excited to sit down with Ms. Lisa Englander-Landes. She's the dietetic internship coordinator at Children's Hospital Colorado. They actually have it's really great that we have like certain dietetic internship programs that kind of specialize in different niches of dietetics if you know your interests. But yeah, Lisa, thank you so much for sitting down to talk about your dietetic internship program.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Jenna.
Yeah, of course. And so the first question that I always like to ask is what previous roles and positions prepared you to be the program coordinator for the internship?
Sure. So I took kind of an indirect path to get here. Prior to becoming a dietitian, I worked in a few different roles that involved program coordination in the health sector, including a nonprofit where I worked with refugee health accessibility and community health programs. In West Africa with Peace Corps also. And then I went on to get a master's in public health along with my dietetics training. I did a coordinated program. And that degree really helped me to learn to look at the big picture when I'm looking at program planning. And I think was really useful in the type of work that I'm doing now. And then immediately prior to my current role, I was working as a pediatric clinical dietitian for about 6 years. And that experience has really been enormously useful as I can really relate to what our interns are learning and going through in our clinically focused program here.
Yeah, definitely for sure. And having that pediatric background, and we're going to go more in depth about your concentrations, because I'm sure with people listening in, they see Children's Hospital that, yes, there is that pediatric concentration that you guys do offer, but there is another concentration if you don't just want straight up pediatrics, which we do want to highlight at the beginning so that, you know, you don't just completely deviate just from hearing Children's Hospital for sure. But kind of going into the, you know, kind of application specifics, all that program nitty gritty stuff that people are interested in, about how many students, so first to kind of lay the groundwork, it's a 10-month standalone dietetic internship, correct? Yeah, awesome. Right. And so then in terms of how many students you accept at your hospital, and then kind of like getting more like insight into it, about how many students do you accept? And then we know that this is a very changing time, but if you can think of the number, how many applications you have gotten in the past years, or if you've seen trends?
Yeah. So we accept 6 students into our program. We have 3 in our pediatric concentration and 3 in our adult acute care concentration. This last year, I think, was an odd year for a lot of programs. There was a big shift across the country in number of applicants. So historically, we've gotten usually around 80 applicants for our 6 spots. And we only got about 25 last year. So it was a big change that seemed consistent with what a lot of other programs saw. So we're not really sure what that's going to look like, if that trend will continue, if we'll see those numbers jump back up. Again, once students kind of figure out what track they want to go on. But I think it's a good time to be a dietetic intern, because I think accessibility to programs is a lot more accessible than it has been in past years, which I think is great.
Yeah, and I cannot agree enough with that statement, because I've been interviewing a lot of program directors, and every single one, they're like, yeah, this is the year that it's just plummeted. And then again, like trying to be positive, it's like, yeah, but the listeners, don't worry, because you have a higher chance of like that spot and stuff, because yes, it's a transformative year. And yes, even like sometimes it's like program directors and students at the same time don't know what they're doing or like what things are going to look like. But like, it's great to just kind of embrace that change and see, like taking advantage, if you can say, about the situation. And if there was that super competitive program that you wanted to go into where which is crazy because, like, you know, before it was like 80 applicants for 6 spots. That's like, again, less than, like, I don't know statistics, but it's very low percent chance compared to going all the way down to 25. So hopefully, again, like, after this transition period, we can see, again, like, we won't know until we see, but again, it's like, we always like to ask that question just to kind of, you know, get the program director's perspective, but also just to kind of, sometimes it alleviates some students' worries, but then again, sometimes they might hear a higher number, but definitely in this time, it's definitely been a lower number and just kind of putting more ease at the students to know that, hey, if there's a program that you didn't want to apply to because you thought it was competitive, it's okay. Like, it makes sense to kind of restructure that mindset, especially with the current transition for sure. But the next question, yeah. And so the next question I had was mainly, again, like we mentioned, how it's a standalone 10-month dietetic internship. And so we're on the topic of the 2024 changes and this being a transformative time period. Will you guys require a master's degree prior to the start of the dietetic internship?
So currently we do. We are exploring options to add a master's track in the next couple of years. We're, you know, really wanting to be thoughtful and intentional about how we do that. So it's, yeah, keep it to be determined, stay posted. So this next year, probably yes again, but that might change in the coming years because we really, we're trying to explore all of the options possible to make our program and entering the career of becoming a dietitian as accessible as possible.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so regarding that graduate degree, do you recommend students to pursue a specific type of graduate degree, or would you just kind of keep it open as like, hey, the world's your oyster? Do you have any insight into that?
Yeah, that's a great question. Our program is really heavily clinically focused. So some sort of experience in a clinical setting is useful, mostly because it helps students to know that this is going to be a good fit for them as a program as well. And it's going to be, you know, 10 months in mostly clinical settings is going to be something that they're really going to enjoy and find useful and a good fit for them. But I don't think that necessarily has to be their master's degree. We've had a lot of students come through our program who are coming in from very different careers in publishing or in other medical fields or in teaching. And, you know, they bring a lot of really strong experience with them. So I think as far as the master's degree, any degree that really helps you learn to think critically, pay attention to details, evaluate literature, is useful. So I don't think it's, yeah, I don't think it necessarily has to be in one specific area. I love that about this requirement, even though it's I think challenging in a lot of ways to have this new master's requirement. The fact that it is open is really useful because dietitians can work in so many different settings and there's so many different skill sets that can be useful for us.
Yeah, for sure. And I love how you mentioned how, like, hey, you know, kind of using that master's degree, not necessarily to keep on drilling into nutrition, but just as long as you get that foundational skills of like critical thinking and like more so those transferable things that allow you to move from place to place, especially in your internship, I think is a really great thing to like highlight because of just, again, we're in this period where a lot of people don't know what to do or like don't know which path to take, but it's the pro and again, the con, because again, decision paralysis, but it's a big pro of just like, you have so many options so you can really go to where your interests are, but then also having to like narrow it down to just one. But then again, it's like, there's so many different paths you can take as a registered dietitian that as long as like with what you said, as long as you choose a graduate degree that prepares you to review literature, critically think, and like apply that in multiple settings, you'll be golden for wherever you go, which I think is a really great thing to highlight and is really, really great. And so going again, like kind of going back into your program specifically about what it covers regarding pediatrics, the pediatrics concentration and the adult acute care concentration. First off, those are two really unique and like awesome concentrations that not a lot of programs have. And so can you describe first why, I mean, again, like in the name of Children's Hospital, that can explain the pediatrics, but like kind of why your program decided to offer these two concentrations specifically?
Sure. So I think the name of our program can be misleading. We're housed in Children's Hospital, and we do have our pediatric concentration for half of our interns, but we also we partner with the University of Colorado Hospital. And with both concentrations, we really place a strong emphasis in preparing our students to work with individuals across the lifespan. So from neonates to end of life, long-term care. So our mission statement is to prepare dietetic interns for entry-level positions and to become leaders in clinical nutrition, nutrition education, and nutrition research for children, adults, and families. So, you know, we really cover a wide span of ages, of clinical care, of research, of nutrition education. Within working within those two hospital systems, we're all located on the same campus here in Aurora, Colorado, on the Anschutz campus. So we really, try to take advantage of all of the resources available to us here as a teaching institution and with all of our partners here as well.
Yeah, awesome. And it's definitely like great to take advantage of like the location you're at and being able to collaborate to kind of expand not only the knowledge base that your interns get, but also letting them know, hey, yes, we are a children's hospital, but just dismantling the fact of it's not just a children's hospital you're working at. You're getting a diverse education along more than just one age group. You're getting it across the lifespan, which is great. And regarding, regarding how the concentration is incorporated into the rotations, would you say it's like mainly in the clinical side of the rotations or food service community? Like, where does it kind of fall in line with the rotations?
Sure. So it's mostly in clinical areas. So our students spend 5 to 6 weeks in their non-concentration clinical rotation. So our adult acute care interns will spend 5 to 6 weeks in rotations at Children's Hospital. And then vice versa for our pediatric interns at University of Colorado Hospital. And then they spend about 20 weeks in their primary concentration area in clinical rotation there. And then the remainder of the weeks over those 10 months are a variety of other areas of nutrition. There's so many different areas that dietitians can work in. So there's about 1 to 3 week rotations each in home care, food service, community nutrition, wellness, research, and then 4 weeks of elective rotations as well. So yeah, there's definitely a strong clinical focus. That's where the majority of the time is spent, but we really want our interns to still see a variety of areas where dietitians can work and be.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, definitely. And it makes sense to have that like clinical foundation. Even I've learned this recently where like I'm not particularly interested in clinical, but the more that I've spoken to people and the more like experience I've gotten, having that clinical foundation, it transfers so much into so many other different facets of dietetics where it's like, yes, a lot of programs may be clinically focused, but they're clinically focused for a reason, because that's where you get the majority of your knowledge, the majority of your critical thinking, the majority of like thinking on your feet. And so like, I mainly just like to highlight that where yes, 5 months of clinical may sound like a lot because it is, but it is a lot because it's there for a reason. And they want, you know, you want to make sure that they have all the knowledge and all the resources that they need so that wherever they do go, they can either keep going clinical or they have a strong enough foundation that wherever they go after that, they're good, ready to go, know their MNT, know all that good stuff so that they're set up for success, which is really great. And so one clarification question I had is you mentioned how you accept 6 students and 3 are on the acute adult care and then 3 are on pediatrics. Do you always accept a 50-50 or like has there been give and take in the past?
That's a great question. So students can apply when they're applying for the internship through DICAS, which through this year, at least, who knows what will happen with that in the future. But we have quite a few students who apply to both of the concentrations. So they're listed as separate programs in DICAS. So you can rank, students will, you know, can rank both the pediatric concentration and the adult acute care concentration, kind of like separate programs. So when we reach out and we make, when we accept those students, it is, we accept 3 in each concentration. That's just how it works with our preceptor availability. But students can apply to both of the concentrations as separate programs if they really want to be here and really want to get that experience of our program. And yeah, sometimes we'll have students go through and the pediatric concentration and end up working in adult care and vice versa. So yeah, both are possible.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you kind of highlighted how, like, you don't have to, whenever you're applying, you don't have to commit to pediatrics, you don't have to commit to adult acute care. You can just, like, if you really want to go here, you can cast a wide net and just, you know, it's a higher probability of being accepted under consideration of both concentrations versus just one, which is a great thing to highlight. And one thing, and like going more towards, you know, just the concentrations, the rotations and things like that, both concentrations, they get that experience in research for 2 weeks, which I think is super cool regarding the fact that you're mainly in a hospital setting, you're mainly, like, you know, clinical focus. But it's great how you, whenever you mentioned all the other rotations they have, it's like a sprinkle of just like everything, including research, what sounds like it has to, like, you know, be this super long thing that you have to commit to. But it's great how you guys offer just a 2 week little preview into research so that they still get that experience. And so can you kind of go more in depth about what the interns experience in this 2 weeks specifically, and kind of give a little preview of what it looks like?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a really popular rotation. Our interns really, really enjoy this one. So this is one of the examples of taking advantage of the resources that we have being on a teaching campus. So our students spend 2 weeks at our clinical center for translational science. Trying to think about the acronym in my head. Clinical Science Institute, I believe, CCTSI. And they work with, it's here on the Anschutz campus also. And they spend 2 weeks with the clinical research team there who focus specifically on nutrition research. So they do a two-week rotation that it really empowers the interns to complete all facets of a nutrition research project. So it's very hands-on, it's very involved. They're not just watching what the clinical researchers are doing. They're acting as participants, they're creating study diets, they're eating the study diets, they're, you know, collecting data on themselves, they're writing a paper. So they, from start to finish, participate, conduct, and then write a paper that would be eligible for submission for publication from start to finish, all in 2 weeks. So it's a very quick process, usually takes years to do, but we've kind of simplified it down so that our interns can really see all the pieces of it and learn as they're going about what, you know, what the recommendations that we make as dietitians, where those come from, how we evaluate the studies that they come from, and they get to be a part of all of it.
Yeah, and I think it's crazy how, like, you cram all of that in 2 weeks. And another testament of that is you mentioned how much of a popular rotation that is, regardless of how much you cram into that busy 2 weeks. Like, people still enjoy it. People still get fulfillment out of it, which I think is really, really great. And regarding that kind of, like, research paper at the very end, are students able to take it and actually, like, have you seen people take that paper and, like, do anything with it regarding publication? Or is it more so just, you know, like, hey, part of their curriculum vitae? Like, have you seen this 2 week research rotation kind of expand into something else for certain interns or for anyone?
So I think the skills learned are very applicable. The study is a very simplified study. The study question is, just by merit of it only being 2 weeks, it's a pretty basic study question that is presented to them, so that they can really hit the ground running with the other pieces of the research. So as far as expanding on that research question, I don't think that's something that's been done in the past, but there are other opportunities within the internship to use those skills learned in the research rotation and apply them to quality improvement projects, which is a project that our interns work on throughout the year, and also a case study and case presentation that each intern works on. So they use those skills that they learn in the research rotation for those other two big projects that they do throughout the year. And those projects, people have gone on to either try to publish their case study that they did. Students have gone on to present their QI projects at BENCI the following year. So definitely lots of opportunities there to continue to grow those research skills.
Yeah, definitely. And it kind of goes back to us talking about how, like, with the graduate degree, how it doesn't have to be in nutrition. It can just be in something that teaches you those transferable skills, like critical thinking and, like, being able to evaluate literature. This little 2 week period, it gives you these transferable skills that you can, like, take to a poster presentation or like you can use to publish your own stuff and like have a really good crash course experience to like get the most out of it so that you can kind of use that to take it to something even bigger, which is really, really great. And even in the program afterwards. And so given that your program, and now we're kind of going to switch a little bit to like more of the structure of the program again, and regarding that it's on site, we know like with the 2024 changes, there's so many like distance, online, accelerated, just like a bunch of different accommodation regarding location to kind of like save money and things like that. And really what we want to do is also highlight, hey, like on-site programs, they're still good. They're still, you know, like you can still get great benefit from them and, you know, don't kind of like get lost in all the fuzz of those online distance, cram everything, all those things, while they have their benefits as well. So to kind of like make that on-site program seem way less daunting and things like that, do you have any recommendations regarding finances with like housing or things like that for students that are interested in your program, but they maybe have to move far away and kind of navigating that process?
Yeah, so we outline in all of our program materials, we outline expected expenses for the program, because of course we know this is a big consideration and we want interns to be able to really plan for it and know what to expect so they're not caught off guard at any point in the year as far as expenses. I've connected students in the past with some of the resources for medical students and other students in various medical professions. As far as housing, there's resources available on the campus here. So that's one resource, but we really just try to make sure that everyone is aware of what expenses are and so people can plan for it, because it's basically like another year of school. So it's good to be aware upfront about what to expect.
Yeah, definitely. And kind of having that open communication, like it's letting you know that you're not just like thrown out into the wolves. It's like you have a support system, you have all these resources, and you don't want to hide anything from them because you want them to come in prepared and not have anything catch them off guard. And kind of like going more into that topic of like supporting your students, giving them those types of resources, are there other ways or like other certain things that you do to support your students throughout the program?
Yeah, absolutely. We really try to place a lot of emphasis on this. This is an area that's really important to us. So one change that we actually just made this year was we do every year we have done Monday morning classes where we meet as a group, and it really helps to build cohesion within the group, and we share experiences about challenges and successes in the rotations and what's coming up for them, because everyone's on a slightly different schedule, but we'll go through all the same rotations eventually. But we also, this year, we gave interns Monday afternoons off to have a little bit more work-life balance and time to complete preparatory work for rotations and some of that project work, so that it's really not having to be done outside of internship hours, to help people find a little bit more balance. For those folks that work, it definitely helps to, outside of the internship, helps to give them a little bit more balance as well. So we'll see how that goes this year, but it seems to be a positive change. As far as other support areas, we have a mentor program. So we connect all of our interns with a mentor for the year based on shared interests. They have a lot of different preceptors. They moved through a lot of different areas this year. So we try to, we connect them with someone with similar interests. So they really have one person that they can go to with questions and career guidance that's consistent throughout the year as well. I do one-on-one meetings at least monthly with the interns as well. So I'm of course available if anything comes up other than that, but we plan in time to make sure that we can touch base about what's going well, if there's any challenges, making sure that they're being addressed in real time. And we do those, one benefit of doing that and on-site programs, we get to do those meetings in person, which I think makes communication just, a little bit easier. And then I think there's fun experiences about being on site on a school campus and also at a children's hospital, that I think just helps to build some group cohesion and bring some levity to a challenge. What's the challenging internship year? So For example, we have a staff Halloween flash mob coming up for Halloween, where different departments dress up and they do a flash mob in the lobby of the hospital for all the kids here. And there's food trucks on Wednesdays and, just little things like that, I think, make it a fun place to be.
Yeah, definitely. Kind of focusing on that, really honing in on the community aspect and like making sure everyone is supported and knowing that they're not alone. And another thing too, like mentioning the class, like the Monday classes and like, kind of listening to the, students and like recognizing the stress and like kind of taking some extra weight off of their shoulders, which is really, really great. And then one like question regarding those Monday classes, is that like where you go over like RD exam prep or kind of like what goes into those Monday classes?
Yeah. So there, we do a variety of topics. Since we don't expect all students to come in with a clinical master's degree, we do cover a lot of topics that are focused on the specialty clinical areas that they'll be rotating in to really give them a strong foundation and help them to feel prepared going into, pediatric oncology, adult oncology, renal education. We do motivational interviewing classes. We do, refeeding syndrome. So we cover a variety of clinical topics as well as counseling topics. And then more towards the end of the year, we cover some of the, we do a lot of exam preparation. We do a class with our hiring managers on preparing for job interviews and do a resume review workshop. So depending on what point we are in the year, we're trying to meet the needs of our students, whatever they are.
Yeah, definitely. And just kind of like tailoring it so that depending on the time frame of the program, it's actually applicable and it's actually going to be helpful for where they move forward, whether it's throughout the rest of the program or after the program, which is really, really, really great. And so we've covered like a lot of really great things regarding the structure of your program, the concentrations, like the support you guys offer, and just again, like really touching on also what's really great, the benefits of an on-site program, just so that that doesn't get lost in the sauce with like all of the shuffling of different like program types and things like that. And so given with the 2024 changes and we're still in this transitional period of like figuring out, students are figuring out what they should do. Some programs or directors are figuring out what they should do as well. But for those students that are like either really stressed or just kind of really are unfamiliar with navigating what the future may look like for them regarding becoming a registered dietitian, what recommendations would you give those RD2Bs applying to supervised practice programs in the future?
Yeah. There's so many options, like you alluded to. There's so many pathways to become a dietitian, and there it seems like it's just expanding, which I think it's great because we want to draw people in this profession and have a lot of different ways to get there. But it can definitely be confusing and hard to choose what feels like the right path for you. So I would encourage students to attend open houses. The NDEP, NDEP, shares a listserv of open houses, and they also put out a great guide to different supervised practice opportunities. It's a really good way, I think, to find out. You can search their giant document with different specialties, and you can search by all of the different indicators that they put in there that you might not find a program otherwise that if you're not, it's not on your radar already. So I think that's a great resource also. And then, reach out directly to directors of programs that you're interested in. If it's a location, if it's a specialty area, we can really help to give insight into future directions and timelines of, potential changes that if there's plans in the works, it might not be anything that's published yet, but if it's an area or a program that you're really interested in, I definitely encourage you to reach out and get more information and let directors know what you're looking for, because we want to be reactive to what students are looking for too and meet the needs of future students as well.
I know, definitely. And I'm glad that you mentioned how, hey, maybe reach out to program directors directly, because what you see on the website, especially now, might not be what's present whenever you start your program or whenever you kind of go into that dietetic internship. Because I've known that there's a handful of program directors that I know where they were like, hey, actually in a couple of months, we're adding a stipend or we're getting rid of tuition. We don't have that on the website yet. But again, it's like just kind of, it's not on paper yet, but that's like what's in the pipeline. And so I'm really glad that you highlighted the fact of reaching out to the program director will really help especially in this time period, will give you insight into what might change by the time you're a dietetic intern or whenever you're a graduate student and whatever that may be. Because again, it's like what we mentioned before with leaning into that change, because what's great is, again, with those more options, it's making it more accessible, but it is really hard to like sift through all those different options at the same time. And so leaning into that support, because again, like you as a program director, you want to help prospective interns and you want to help those students figure out what's right for them. And it's not like this little barrier between the student and the program director. It's definitely like they want to help you as much as you want to get help from them and things like that. And I'm really glad that you kind of dismantled that like notion that there's a barrier or like, oh, what's on the website is everything that's on the website, especially now. And so the last question that we really wanted to like end on is, again, there's kind of more blanket advice, especially with your experience, your past experiences, not even as program director, and even your experience as program director with interacting with so many aspiring dietitians. And so is there anything you wish you knew as a dietetic student yourself that would have helped you going into your dietetic internship?
I think just knowing that the relationships and the network that you build during your internship year are likely going to be enormously impactful. They really, you know, it's a relatively small community as dietitians. So those relationships you build with preceptors and with different folks that you meet throughout the year can be so helpful in helping you to find jobs in the future, to be there as resources in the future. If you're working in an area and you have a question, you can reach out to a past preceptor and use them as a resource even after the internship year is over. So I think that is a good thing to be aware of going in. I think specific to our internship that, you know, I encourage students to stay organized in the beginning, it's a year of really intense learning and your brain feels tired sometimes, but just keeping yourself organized so you can go back and review information is really helpful. I still have some papers from my internship, that things that I learned there that I would reference those first couple years to. And also to find ways to recharge, to, you know, be aware of that going into your internship year and, you know, really planning that time for yourself as well. I think every program, we cram a lot into, you know, 8 months, 10 months, however long it is. So, you know, just making sure that you're finding that that balance so you can still come out of the year energized and excited, I think is an important thing to plan for and be aware of at the beginning, even the beginning of your experience.
Yeah. And I love it how for that kind of like closing piece of advice, you touched on professional, educational, and like personal well-being advice, just kind of a touch of everything, which I think definitely for students, we neglect one or more of those things. So I'm glad that you kind of had that closing reminder of all are very much important and good to keep in mind for your well-being and for being successful even beyond the internship. So thank you so much, Lisa, for not only giving great advice, but showcasing the Children's Hospital of Colorado's dietetic internship. And we'll have your program information in the show notes as well. But again, thank you so much for taking the time to share your program and the unique aspects and just great things about it.
Thank you, Jen. It's been a pleasure. Awesome.